great compilation tape. Like breaking up is hard to do, and takes ages longer than it might seem. You gotta kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you gotta take it up a notch. But you don't wanna blow your wad, so then you gotta cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper, take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
To the latest episode of the Banzai Retro Club and the 80s mixtape podcast recordings. So today we're here with Scott Compton.
Hello.
And I'm Suzanne Mattaboni, and I've recently been made a full-fledged host with the Banzai Retro Club, so that's a lot of fun.
Yay! Insert hand clapping.
Yes, yay! So we're happy about that. And so I guess I'm going to kick things off here. What we wanted to do is focus on Rick Ocasek, who unfortunately we lost recently. And Scott and I and Dave have been doing a series together on the best new wave albums from 1979 to 1989, year by year, which has kind of been a blast because there's so much great music. And the Cars and Rick Ocasek has had huge influence over this entire decade. So we'd like to, you know, pay a little bit of a tribute and just devote an episode to him and why he was so influential and why this was such a great band that really drove all of this. Pun intended, I guess. Really drove a lot of this music. Yes. But yeah, and if you consider, you know, one of the songs that we've talked about is Drive. So there was some cool stuff. And I guess it's kind of somber because I know I've been real upset. I get real emotional when we lose one of our icons. It's really, you know, like I cried when David Bowie died. But I would hope that this wouldn't be like a somber discussion, that we could just...
No, it's more of a celebration because really he brought so much. He brought so much to the table, not just him, but, you know, the rest of the Cars too, Benjamin Orr and other band members that were part of that whole, the whole band coming into it.
Absolutely.
Just think about what he brought us. It's amazing what he did. And he wrote a good portion of most of their stuff.
Yes. Yes. And he didn't sing every one of these songs, but the majority of the songs that you think of, you hear his vocal. And they were really pretty prolific, starting with Candy O in 1979 and going all the way. I believe they didn't break up till 1988. So I think we had talked about maybe going through some of these albums and what they meant to us.
Well, I think we need to jump back to 78 with their first album, just self-titled album, The Cars, because there's some seriously big songs on that album.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of started it all.
Yeah, I mean, Let the Good Times Roll, or Good Times Roll is the name of the song, but everybody knows that song. I was talking to my wife earlier, and she's like, really? I really don't know that much about The Cars and Rick Ocasek. I'm like, I can't even think of a song right now. I'm like,
oh, God.
Just what
I
needed.
Once she... Best friend's girl.
She goes, I'm sure if I heard them, I would instantly recognize them. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You totally would.
Well, and, that's the thing. They were so all over in movie soundtracks, and they really were part of the soundtrack of the decade. And even if you didn't realize that that was one of their songs, which I did, I was a big fan. But, you know, a lot of people I know kind of have heard them in the background and didn't realize how many of those songs were attributed to them, I think, is the deal.
Yeah. People know the songs, but they don't know who it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just this first album, Good Times Roll, My Best Friend's Girl, Just What I Needed. Don't You Stop, I remember that song. It wasn't nearly as popular as some of the others. You're All I've Got Tonight, Bye Bye Love, Moving in Stereo, which we'll have to talk about a little bit later, Moving in Stereo.
Yeah, everybody loves Remembering Moving in Stereo.
Can't forget that scene. Anyway, so this album was just, it had so many great songs on it that people, I think everybody knows, from our generation, everybody knows these songs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's really, like, if you think about it as a debut album, as their
outstanding, yeah.
Un-freaking believable. Like, they have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs, 6 of 9 that were originally released on that first album. Six out of nine. That percentage of songs that were in the, you know, top 40, top 100, whatever. That's incredible. There are bands out there that put out album after album after album after album and have one hit the top 100.
Yeah.
Let alone
that's
their
true.
First album having six
just
big hits. It's
hit machine, right.
Crazy.
So, like, which of these do you remember hearing first out there in the world, you know, as we were all starting to get into this music? Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember myself, like, what was the first Cars song I remember hearing?
Yeah, this is going back to, like, 7th grade, 6th grade, maybe.
Yeah, with me it was more like 10th, maybe 9th or 10th grade.
Yeah, I really don't remember which one I heard first, but I remember hearing several of them at that time. I think Good Times Roll is probably one that stands out for me as far
yeah,
as
maybe.
That song. Or that,
I can't
that
decide.
Time.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, just for sort of pre-80,
mm-hmm.
before 1980, because I think it was 81 that Fast Times came out, and that's where Moving in Stereo comes in.
yeah, but you never hear any vocals on Moving in Stereo in that film. So
no.
It's not like you immediately say, oh, that's the Cars. You know, you just, it's kind of become culturally known that, you know, this is where this song came from.
That is such an awesome, like, observation. I never realized that. You never hear them singing. It's
no.
just the intro.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's all slow-mo and, you know, fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, which just kind of goes with Moving in Stereo. Like, that's kind of what it sounds like the song should be accompanying. Good Times Roll, But my best friend's girl, I think I might have heard more that first year. And, you know, this brings me right back to being like a 15-year-old junior counselor at camp, which I've, you know, told you about. You know, those were kind of special years. And those were the first couple of years that I started hearing any new wave songs. But I think the Cars were probably the first ones that I heard as far as songs that really were starting to push the envelope toward a different type of music than like that classic rock type of Kansas and Boston and such, and Foreigner, you know?
Right. It still had a little edge to it, mm-hmm. but it took things in a new direction for sure.
Right. Yeah. Right. And was more electronic feeling and more experimental than some of those kind of more traditional late 70s sounds. So,
but still had some good guitar stuff in it too. Like that's my draw, is like the guitar work, you know?
Yeah. He was a guitar player that, you know, when I looked at a couple of interviews and that's what he described himself as, you know, I played the guitar. Oh yeah. And I sang. Oh yeah. And I wrote the songs.
Was that all?
No, oh yeah. He's just a genius. That's all. Yeah. And I have to say, okay, this is one thing that I have to bring up. When I remember hearing people talk about him back in the day, we said Rick Ocasek. But in going back and looking at interviews and such, I don't think anybody can really decide between Ocasek and Ocasek. So
I've heard it both ways many times.
I have too. Yeah. I have too. So forgive me, you know, whoever is a purist out there who thinks we're saying it wrong. I've heard it both ways, and I remember it one way, but I think one of the videos, he said it as Ocasek, so I don't know. He didn't seem to correct all the other people who were introducing him the other way, though. So, it's a little strange. But, I'm not even really sure which one to commit to.
yeah.
But in any case.
Yeah.
So... do we want to move on to...
Yeah, what's the next album?
The next album was Candy O, I think.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about this.
Next album was Candy O. Right. Had a cover that really sold it.
Oh, yeah. Dave was especially interested in it.
Yes. Yeah. So, and Let's Go, I think, just took off like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. That was actually a song that I just sang for my wife a few minutes ago to try to give her an idea of.
Oh yeah, oh,
come on, you know the Cars. Let's go, you know, and a little tune.
Let's go, yeah. Everyone knows that one. And I think, I think that's the one that Best Buy has been using for somebody.
I think
decided to run with. Yeah. Which, don't know, makes me happy to a certain degree to hear all these songs being used in advertising, but also makes me a little aggravated over the fact that we used to, you know, we used to fight to find these songs on the radio, and now people are just using them all over the place, you know, like commandeering our youth and making it easy for people.
Right, like the Depeche Mode song, I Just Can't Get Enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, oh, that's the song for some kids' song now. What is that?
Oh, yeah, what is
it? Baby Shark or something? Baby Shark or something like that? Or,
I don't know if I know that one. I think I've heard it in like a yoga commercial or something.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know if people really know where these songs are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and well, there's so many of them that are being used from the 80s and earlier that are in commercials that we all of us, you know, our generation was like, oh my God, they're using, you know, Led Zeppelin.
I know, but you know what I think it. You know what I think it kind of says? I feel like, all right, so now our generation, we were these kind of these punks who were listening to this music that was, you know, supposedly kind of subversive. We were kind of the underground rejects, I guess, let's say, of society that were, you know, rebelling or what have you, which is, you know, what all teenagers do, I guess. But now we're running things and we're, you know, have kind of taken over the world.
That's a good observation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when people are appealing to consumers and you know, want to sell them things and get them to invest money and everything else, they're using the songs that we used to fight to hear on the radio, like I said. So that I love. To kind of feel like, well, we sort of won in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, really. Really. I mean, it shows, you know, marketing companies market to the people that are spending the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. They're marketing to the people that are our age and spending the money on the products that they're selling. You know, they're not selling bubble gum with this music. They're selling, you know, car insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
or whatever, you know.
I think Fidelity is using one of these car songs. I have to look it up, or maybe that was the Gary Numan song. But in any case, it's encouraging. We've all come of age and done well for ourselves. But in any case.
So, what other songs on this album? I know we talked about it briefly in our other episode, but. What else?
Well, Candio was a fun song.
Oh yeah.
And Dangerous Type. I think you pointed out that you like Dangerous Type.
Yeah, that was my favorite song.
That's a great song.
Favorite song on this album, other than that and Candio, but yeah, mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Uh huh.
So.
And It's All I Can Do was pretty good too. Although it looks like I'm looking at something now that says that Benjamin Orr did that vocal.
I can hear that.
Yeah.
Like I can hear it in my head. I
keep
hear it.
Waiting for you. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like Rick on that one.
I'm surprised at how alike they sounded when they, and I'm thinking maybe that was a strategy because they were singing behind each other, you know, and switching off vocals. But I saw a performance that, do you remember back, I think maybe it was the late 80s. There was, or maybe, I don't know when it was, but there was a show called Fridays. It was a comedy show that was supposed to, like a sketch comedy hour that was supposed to be kind of competing with Saturday Night Live. Maybe it was, early, it must have been early 80s. There were several, the Cars performed on there several times.
Really?
And yeah, live, which you didn't get to see that often, unless you went to a concert. And I watched a couple of those performances and I was surprised at the song, which song, I'm trying to remember which song it was. There were several, but, I was surprised at least one of them. Oh, Think It Over, a song called Think It Over, that Benjamin Orr actually sang that vocal. And it sounded like so Cars that you didn't even think for a minute that it was you know, maybe it wasn't Rick Ocasek. Yeah. It was, you know, he was singing backup.
Yeah.
But that was another one of those really neat songs that you don't even remember it's out there until you listen to it and say, wow, that was a wild song. And that wasn't even a big hit. So,
I really like the bands like this that can switch up their lead singer.
Yeah, it's true. And still have that sound.
Yeah. And still maintain the same feel that they have as a band. Another band that's like that, and I don't know, you probably don't know them very well, that's Triumph. They're Canadian, kind of a hard rock band. But they did the same thing. The drummer would sing, and the lead guitarist would sing. Rick, what's his name? Anyway, never mind the names. But it's interesting to see bands that can switch up the singer every once in a while. Fleetwood Mac was really good at doing something like that, you know, between Christy
That's
McVie
true.
and Stevie Nicks and
That's true.
Oh my God, what's his name?
Yeah, Lindsey Buckingham.
Lindsey Buckingham, thank you.
Fleetwood.
Yeah, they were able to switch up the lead vocals, but you always knew who it was.
Uh-huh.
You know, you always
Yeah, and that's a little
band.
More obvious. They weren't, like, trying to sound like each other, I think. They kind of stuck a little bit more to the individual, you know, the individual artists. And Stevie Nicks, I don't think anybody could imitate her if they tried anyway.
So. No, that's a tough one. Karaoke for Stevie Nicks, good luck with that. that's a tough cover. But you could just tell that this was like any song that you heard by them, whether it was Benjamin Orr or Rick Ocasek, you could tell it had that Cars feel.
Absolutely. It was unmistakably a Cars song.
Yeah, absolutely. So
you got to hand it to them.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to the next album?
Yeah. Well, next comes Panorama in 1980. Yeah. Which is one of my favorite, all-time favorite albums.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, absolutely. See, now at this point, I could go out, and, you know, I had money from working at camp. No, I could go out and actually buy albums, you know? So this was one of the early albums that I bought as a teenager, was Panorama. And it's not one of those albums that are full of big hits, but I'll tell you, it's a great album. It's got a lot of really cool songs on it.
I know. I know. Touch and Go.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the album, I really don't know.
Let's see. Maybe. maybe Don't Tell Me No. Don't Tell Me No. Don't Tell Me No.
I might have to listen.
Have to listen to it. But
no, I'm back with the homework. I always have homework after talking to
you're gonna
to
love
other
this
people
one.
About music. It's good stuff. I love doing the music homework, though, really. It's fun because I get to experience things that I might have missed, you know, down the road.
Yeah, and you know what it is about? This album, I think, is a little edgier than the others. It's not a pop album. Mm-hmm. It's weirder. It's edgier. There's a lot of... I think the guitar is much stronger and a little bit more raw on some of these. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of really cool sound effects, and I just love, there's a song on here called You Wear Those Eyes that I've mentioned before, mm-hmm. that is really sparse, like, chirping noises at the beginning, and then keyboard comes in very slowly, and then he just goes forward with this kind of images poetry, practically. It's really cool. It's really cool.
This one was released in what year? 1980.
1980.
So early. Still early.
Yeah, still pretty early. I guess 10th grade. I was in 10th grade.
It's still amazing to me that they were around since 78. Like,
I know.
It's incredible to think back that we were, you know, that young when they were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
When they had this many albums out already.
Yeah, and they already had that many hits. Yep. It's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So I really don't have too much to input on this album other than Touch and Go. I'm going to have to listen to it and dig into it, though. You Wear Those Eyes, track 8. Okay.
Yeah.
I will. I'm making a note right now.
That's him getting into that deep poetry type of thing that I told you I associate with him. So
now,
that's...
I'm a Pink Floyd fan, so we can talk about deep poetry. So
okay,
I get that. I love deep lyrics that make you think.
Mm. So, right. Well, it's more. It was more kind of loosey-goosey type of interesting stuff that was more mysterious than deep, you know, or more like evocative, let's say, of images and such. It's neat. It didn't have to be literal, you know.
Okay.
So in any case.
Cool.
Okay. So do we want to talk about Shake It Up? Because I think this is their defining album.
No, what album is that? I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you serious? are you being sarcastic?
I'm totally being sarcastic.
Okay.
Excuse me. I got a little frog in my throat.
Okay.
I'm going to mute for just a second.
All right. Okay. but in any case, yeah, I think I went out and bought this one too. So I did own a couple of these albums.
Oh, so this was, I know you had mentioned before that you made like $40 in a summer.
Yeah, it was like 50, they paid you like $50, but then you know the kids' parents tipped you, so it went. Yeah. So it went a little over that, but that was it. Like if you stayed to the end, you didn't get it till the end of the summer.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you had to stick around. So it was kind of like they called it a bonus. You get a bonus if you stay. So it was not a high paying position.
No, but it sounds like so much fun. Really.
Oh my god, it was a blast. It was probably the most fun job in the world.
Oh. Can I tangent just for a second?
Okay.
So we did a little bit of yard sailing yesterday. We went, you know, drove around, found some yard sales. And we came across a copy of Friday the 13th Part 3, which was in 3D. Mm. And you know, the original Friday the 13th was a campground, you know, and this one took place. This one also, part three, took place at the campground. Of course, there's no kids there at this time, but it was just really like the whole camp thing.
It wasn't that kind of camp that I went to.
No,
it just. And I saw that movie. I think somebody took me on a date to see that movie. It was terrible.
The 3D one? It is terrible.
It was horrible.
We actually like the DVD that we bought. We got it for $1. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Which is a great deal, and it came with two sets of 3D glasses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we were sitting. I would love to see what it looked like, us sitting on our couch with our 3D glasses on. You know, the red and the blue from, like, the 50s, really. They started doing that back in the 50s and 60s with 3D, that type of 3D effects. And some of the effects on this thing were so cheesy. They couldn't come up with anything better than a stick going out into the, you know, into your face.
Yeah, I basically know. Wasn't there like a poker from the fireplace or something?
Yes, there was.
That you'd see was, now that was memorable because that's that. And tell me there wasn't some scene where some chick bent over right in your face. Am I remember correctly? I think those are the two things that I remember.
Her butt was sticking out there all in 3D.
Yeah, kind of. It was like, well, this is not aimed at me.
That's funny stuff.
It was not a great film.
No, it's not. It's not great, but it's fun to watch around the Halloween season. Cheesy movies. I love these things.
Corny.
So, and for $1, we're like, you know what? We'll pack it in for the night. It's a Saturday night. Chrissy and I we made some popcorn, we got some peanut M&Ms out, and just sat and watched Friday the 13th, part 3 in 3D, with our glasses on. So it was fun. Sorry, that was my tangent.
Okay, well that must have been an interesting night.
It was fun. It was good. It was a good time. So,
okay.
I only fell asleep for like the last 15 minutes.
Well, I don't think you missed that much.
So, next album was what?
Let's see.
Shake It Up. You were just saying,
yeah.
Shake It Up.
Shake It Up. Shake It Up was amazing. Just an amazing album. And that song itself, Shake It Up, is a fabulous dance song. You can't stop jumping around. Like, I just love those songs that just make you get up and dance. And you dance that much faster than any of the song that came on the rest of the night. So it's a joy. It's a joy to listen to. Good too. Since You're Gone was great.
I like I'm Not the One.
I'm Not the One was good. That was kind of like a little more mellow and slower, but that's a great song. And like I said, when I clicked on the video and watched that performance of Think It Over on Fridays, that was a fabulous song.
I'm about to visit some of these songs also on you know, whatever, some kind of either YouTube or whatever, mm-hmm. just to listen to some of these
remember
songs.
So I think it was on the radio, but it's hard to say because then once you own the album and you play it 20 billion times, you know, you don't know if you know it, you're remembering it because it was on the radio or because you used to dance around the bedroom to it, you know?
Right.
Like with the black light on and the posters, you know?
Right, like I know the song The Morning After by Rat because I listen to that album over and over again, and it's like track 7 that nobody has ever heard other than people that listen to the Rat album all the way through. So I get it. Totally get it. So another album I'm going to have to go back and visit, which I thought Shake It Up had more singles than the ones that I recognize.
Well, you might remember more once you listen. So.
Probably.
You know how it is.
Think It Over is sounding familiar.
Think It Over. It Over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. It's fun. You know, I like stuff that I could have a good time listening to.
Yeah. Not too mellow. Just
yeah.
A good...
It's okay to go mellow here and there, but if you make me get up and dance, that you get extra points.
Are you a woo girl?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Okay. I do. I watched How I Met Your Mother.
Woo! Yeah, I
you know, like, I had fun.
Yeah.
But I was not Miss Susie Sorority, you know.
Okay, good.
We were more
that's good to know.
Moody bohemian types.
Okay,
no?
that's better. You like to party and have fun, but you weren't a woo girl. That's good.
Right. I think there's just quite a distinction between the way we parted and the way the woo girls do.
Yes.
And we were very, if anything, we were kind of like goth snobs, you know, like if you had to be, have some kind of authenticity and know your bands and, you know, not get all excited over Bananarama, you know, that's just not cool enough for us. So... It was maybe, you know, it was we had at least as much fun as any of those woo girls, but we were much, you know, we considered ourselves much cooler.
You're more sophisticated.
If I must say so, yeah.
Sophistication is key.
Yeah, as far as music goes.
Yes, absolutely.
So in any case.
And I would say, like, the Cars had a certain level of sophistication.
Yeah, I kind of consider them, and this is something that I definitely wanted to talk about. I kind of consider them like a thinking man's band, not to be sexist, thinking woman's band, whatever. Thinking guy and gal is going to listen to this. It's not mindless. It's like, to me, Rick Ocasek was like the first like geeky cool guy, you know, tall and lanky and not like picture perfect beautiful like the guys in Duran Duran, but
right. Wow, it's funny that you say that, because that's
cool.
When you said he's tall and lanky and not the picture perfect, Duran Duran is the first group that came to my mind in that split second. I'm like, yeah, he's not like them, but he's got depth.
Yes, and he's also, his look became just like an iconic style model of him in that, you know, every performance I looked at him doing, you know, in the past week or two to, you know, kind of think about this this program, let's say, he has the sunglasses on while he's performing indoors. You know, like, you never think to yourself, why is he wearing the sunglasses? He probably can't see. But, you know, it was a style thing. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he was self-conscious. I have no idea. But that tall, lanky guy with the black spiky hair, the shades, and the big jacket was just all over the place.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah. And that was him. That was not Duran Duran. That was not the Sex Pistols. You know, that was the Cars. That was Rick Ocasek.
Definitely not the Sex Pistols.
Seriously. Right, you know? But, I mean, those were the people who were driving this whole genre, mm-hmm. right? But when you think of what everybody looked like when they walked around and went to the clubs, that's who they looked like. They looked like Rick Ocasek. So you got to love that. You got to love that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know.
I like.
What was he, 75?
Yeah.
When he passed just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, which is not that up there.
Not really old, no. It's not that old. My grandmother's 94.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She turned 94 in April. And she's still, you know, she's still kicking it pretty good. Very, very good with her wits and stuff, but her body's starting to, you know, show signs of being old. But I mean, come on, 94.
Really, yeah,
you gotta expect it. But it's sad to see somebody like Rick Ocasek only make it 75, you know. And then we also lost Eddie Money, who is at right around the similar age. I can't remember how old he is, but Eddie Money,
yeah,
right,
that's
there too. All with like 2 days of each other, or
I know,
the day after, the next day after.
Weird.
Or something. Yeah, kind of a rough weekend for our generation of music, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I don't like having idols who are dead.
And
I don't like that at all.
The last couple of years have been really freaking rough as far as that goes. And I'm going to bring it back down to the somber level for a second.
Okay.
You know, George Michael, Prince, David Bowie.
You're killing me.
I know. Like, they should not be going away this soon. And now Rick Ocasek, Eddie Money. There's many, many others that we could go into. But it's rough losing these icons that we grew up with. And we're not even done talking about Rick Ocasek and the Cars. We still have a couple albums to go. So.
True.
Do you want to go to the next album?
The next album is Heartbeat City.
I love the title track.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite songs by them. Really. I absolutely love that song.
Yeah, this one, to me, I associate these songs more with MTV and the videos that went with them.
Okay.
As opposed to the other songs I associate with hearing them on the radio when I was doing stuff in my life. So, and this one, we jumped to 1984 now, so we're into the middle of the decade. But these were some great songs. These are definitely some great songs. But once again, everyone I look at, I think of the images from the videos. So,
yeah, you know, our generation, being the MTV, we're Generation MTV.
Mm-hmm.
We've been called Generation X or whatever you want to call it, but I call it Generation MTV.
I'm proud of it.
you are damn right, because I have an MTV shirt. My wife has an MTV shirt. You know, I told you about all those videos that I have that are classic MTV videos that are just they're part of our life. I mean, they're part of our history. We can't ever let that go, and I don't think we can ever hear songs that are from that era without seeing a little bit of those videos run through our minds.
Right, absolutely. And that whole format and that whole structure, I think that is ours alone, because MTV stopped playing videos after a while and doing reality shows. So people are still out there making videos but it's like now it's a YouTube generation as far as them going to see, going to search out the bands that they like and the videos they want to see. And it's a different experience than having had it structured for you the way that it was.
I totally agree. I almost feel like
communal.
Yes, and the music videos that come out nowadays, there's some that are really interesting and well done, but does anybody really care that much? Like the way we did in our MTV generation when we were growing up and waiting. Like, do you remember where you were waiting for Thriller to come out? Like, I remember
that, it was a big deal. Thriller took over the world that year. It truly did.
And I don't mean to tangent on the MTV thing, but that video, I can tell you exactly where I was, who I was with when that video aired, because MTV made such a huge deal about it coming out, you know?
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson was the biggest thing to hit, you know, just to be anywhere, whether it's videos, right, or music or radio or whatever. He was just so huge at the time. So yeah, it's the MTV thing. I'd love to go back and revisit a show we did a couple years ago. Dave and I talked about music videos, some of our favorite music videos, and I definitely would love to go back to that and bring those up. But
yeah, I feel I don't watch a ton of videos now for bands, but when I do, what I notice is they will cut like every 2 seconds, as if these people can't get through a freaking line of music without stopping 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, I really have to wonder what if everything is just completely fabricated, you know, in the studio, as opposed to people actually having, you know, exerting talent, and it's just, it's kind of sad. And I really shouldn't trash anybody's music, because I know my daughter's pretty devoted to a couple of bands, which are actual bands. They play guitars, they sing together, etc. And I don't think I've seen their videos. And some of them, they are kind of like retro 80s, a lot of the bands that she's listening to. There's a lot of throwback style, I think, out there. Whether she realizes it or not, I hear it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we would, being who, you know, the generation we are, we'll pick up on those things sometimes.
Yeah, but she's probably a little bit more alternative than most people out there. So, but what all I've seen, when I've seen like a real pop culture, you know, popular song, the video is just like they can't sing through a freaking line of music without having the camera splice 10 billion times. It's really sad.
Cut. Hey. And cut. And fade. Yeah. And cut. And go. Yeah. It's right. a lot of fast changes. Your mind is taking away too much. So, one of the songs on here, actually, this is a great album. Back to the album you were talking about, Heartbeat City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once again, almost everything is a hit on here. There's maybe three songs that I don't recognize.
The songs, like, there's a couple of songs on here that really, really stand out to me because of a year that happened, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So,
1984 was an outstanding year.
Yeah, 84 is a good freaking year. I was 16 when this album came out. And
usually a good year.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good year. So I lived in Southern California at the time, okay? But my grandparents lived in Chicago. And over the years, since like fourth grade, I'd gone back and forth between Chicago and Southern California every year. So I would go to you know, live with my parents and my brother and my sister in Southern California for the school year, and then every summer, all three of us, me and my brother and my sister, would go back to my grandparents' house and live with them for like 2 months, you know, the whole summer basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was 16 when this came out, and I was hanging out with this group of guys, and we would go to a lake up just, you know, maybe 45 minutes from our house, and I had just had my license. I was one of the younger guys, or the older guys, so I had my license, not everybody else had their license yet. So I would take my grandpa's truck, we'd all pile in the back of the pickup truck, and we'd go to this beach. And there was two beaches right next to each other. They're little tiny beaches, only held a couple hundred people each. And Magic, the song Magic, was on the radio all the time when we were going to the beach during that summer. And I can remember my buddy Pat, this guy, I still talk to him every once in a while. This was like his favorite song at the time. Every time we'd come on the radio, he would crank it all the way until the knob didn't turn anymore. You know, that was before he had the little push buttons to turn up the volume. he would crank the knob all the way up, and we would just jam out to the song Magic. That one, and then You Might Think. Those two songs were like...
You Might Think was a great song. I think that's my favorite video. That was just...
it's crazy. It's a crazy video.
Silliness. Yeah, yeah. Wasn't like Andy Warhol involved in that one? That was a lot of fun.
Could have been, because either Andy Warhol or like Tim Burton, just like really odd thinking, really crazy, crazy video out there. The thing I remember about the song You Might Think is that when they recorded it, Rick Ocasek's mic was like really hot. Okay. So there's a point where there's no music, and he's just kind of not a cappella, but he's just kind of like spoken word.
But you kept it going
till the sun went down.
Mm-hmm.
You kept it going. You could hear every little bit of click and spit and stuff in his mouth. I'm like, wow, that's really good quality production, because you could hear every little thing that's in it. You know, they didn't dumb it down at all. They just made it. They just threw it out there. So, anyway.
You might think it's hysterical. I know when you're weak. You think you're in the movies. Everything's so deep. But I think that you're wise. Kept it going till the sun fell down. It kept it going.
The those two songs are very, very memorable for me. Mm-hmm. Drive was good, but it was a little, you know,
Drive was good.
Sappy and love song, blah, blah, blah.
I guess that was a slow one. You got to give them, you know, some credit for having dynamics within their body of work.
It has
to
be.
And that was Benjamin Orr also.
It has to be done. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's one of those things. It's part of music. Everybody has those slower love songs that they come out with. And that's cool. Wasn't my thing at the time. I appreciate it now. You know, if I hear it on the radio, I'm like, it's really kind of got a cool groove, you know?
Yeah, I think that was an interesting kind of, that video was, first off, I think that's where, Paulina Poroskova came into the picture. She was in that video.
Right. And,
Yeah, exactly. And I think it depicted her in some kind of an asylum or something. Looking gorgeous, of course. But, you know, it was a weird little dark narrative, I guess, going on there. She's kind of banging her head against the rubber walls and things. But yeah. I thought it's kind of cool that they explored these different areas. You know, they did this one video where, you know, it was kind of all op art and weird things flying around and people being shrunk into little bits. And he's like picking up the model and dropping her into the car and stuff. And then you have this moment of, what do I do with this woman that I love who's insane, you know, while they're singing this sort of slow love song in the background. So.
Right. The scene that jumps out to me of that video, like we're going back to the video things, what pops out in your head as videos in these videos and Drive is when she goes from laughing to crying in like 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's I can't remember the lyrics that go with that exact part. I think it's when you break. Like who's gonna put you back together when you break or something along those lines it's like she's laughing and then she goes into this crying mode and that's just like that really stands out in my mind as a memory for me. I haven't seen that video in a long time either, but it's a great freaking album. Hello Again is another one that was part of that.
And
that had a lot of those summer memories, like I was telling you about going up to the lake and going to those beaches. Yeah, it's great stuff.
It was a good year. And I'll be honest, if you listen to all these songs, like a lot of bands will start off strong, they'll kind of evolve, maybe they'll degenerate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. These songs are all just as strong as the original songs on the album from 1978. If you were to play them all together, you wouldn't hear any degeneration. I think they were strong and their sound was really consistent over the years and over a lot of years. You know, they weren't like a flash in the pan, a couple of years, and that's it, they're done.
They went 9 years consistently with albums, and I agree with you about the strength of each album, because so I've been repainting the house the last week, the exterior of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what, we talked about this and Dave were like, well, we should do a Rick Ocasek thing and kind of do a tribute to him because he was so impactful. So I went on YouTube and I found all the, you know, a bunch of Cars songs and albums playlist, and I put them on and I knew every song that came on, but I could not like recall which songs were with which albums, and so they all kind of blended together as just this collection of great music. Like it doesn't need to be broken down into albums. That's how they are. That they have this.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have
consistent.
This specific. They have the sound.
And it's yeah,
the
and
Cars.
That's rare.
That's
it's rare because even if you look at like a brilliant band like the Beatles, I mean, you can definitely tell the difference between early Beatles and late Beatles. They're completely
absolutely.
Different bands.
Yes, totally.
But Yeah, but this band was not like that. And you have to wonder why that was. Did they have a better relationship between the members? Were they, you know, less volatile and more clean cut and not, you know, off partying and doing drugs, or, you know, and they were able to kind of keep their heads among themselves and not have conflict that then changed the whole dynamic? I really don't know. I haven't looked into that, but it's rare. It's unique. So.
Well, I think the song that fits off of this album that would really like throw me back to the early albums of their earlier, little bit earlier sound is Heartbeat City. Like that one, okay. That one really has a feel of their early stuff. And I wonder if it was maybe even possibly written earlier on.
And then they revisited later. Yeah.
Cause
could be,
although they do sound like they could all come from the same album. There's a little bit of a sense of earliness and, you know, maturity. Like their first album was, they had their debut, and then I think they kind of matured a little bit over the next few years and put some really good music together. But that Heartbeat City just brings me back to kind of an earlier sound.
A little bit more innocence, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of contradicting myself, though, because I said earlier, just a few minutes ago, that they all kind of sound like they could come from one big album.
Mm-hmm. Well, but let's say more so than most other bands.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to confuse anybody and think that I'm just, you know, chit-chatting or whatever. I have strong feelings about the Cars are an awesome band. I love a lot of their work. So anyway,
okay,
that's beside all right, the point. And go on.
Yeah, well, you noticed, you know, there are exceptions. Like I said, I think if you listen to Panorama, you'll notice. I think that album kind of stands out from the rest. It has a little bit of a different timbre to it.
I definitely have to go back and listen to that one. That's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, over time, I think from this stretch, especially from 1978 when they debuted to Heartbeat City, just really strong, really just insignia music, you know, very just their own. So they just owned it, their own sound. They didn't sound like they were influenced by other people. They didn't diverge.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. They did not sound like they were influenced by other people.
Yeah, I noticed this.
No, I think that they were really on their own playing field. Really, mm-hmm. It's a really cool aspect to look at it. They had a unique sound, and they brought a lot to the genre of new wave, like we've talked about. But some people sounded like them, but they didn't sound like a lot of other people.
Right. Right. And they did not change to sound like the new guy on the block who had a hit record, which even some really strong artists I noticed did that. Like, I know Billy Joel did that. Absolutely. And I mean, it worked for him. He's a brilliant, brilliant songwriter, and I'm devoted to him. But when 1980 hit and he came out with Glass Houses, that was definitely a new wave influenced record, where he was, I think he made an effort to sound like some other bands, you know, maybe even like the Cars. And I think that's kind of where, when he sings, it's still rock and roll to me, you know, everyone's talking about the new sound, funny, but it's still rock and roll to me. He's kind of saying, you know, I can do this too, and it's still my, you know, it's still great. It's still my work. So you bought it, you know, but you don't have a moment like that in this discography from the Cars.
Yeah, so that's very cool. You brought up Billy Joel. How about a pair of pink sidewinders and a bright orange pair of pants?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite line from any song. Of his, really. I love that.
What exactly are sidewinders? I think I asked my mother.
I don't know. I think they're shoes.
They're like sneakers or something, yeah.
I think they're sneakers.
Like, what the heck is that? My mother went to the same high school as Billy Joel, though. If I hadn't mentioned that before. Yeah, yeah. I think my aunt.
I think you did mention that before. That's awesome.
Okay. Well,
That's awesome.
One of those Long Island claim to fame things.
Yeah.
But in any case, so another reason to like him.
My only Huntington Beach claim to fame is that Tony Gonzalez was a tight end that played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, crickets. I know.
Well, no, only I'm not a sports chick.
No, I know. Most people don't know who Tony Gonzalez is unless you're really a football geek like myself.
I went to college with Dan Marino, and he played when I was a freshman. So that's like the big football thing I throw out now and then when somebody asks.
I saw a dude wearing a Marino shirt today. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the brewery that cool. we were at doing the meet and greet for the Greyhounds. There was some dude walked in with a Miami Dolphins Merino shirt on. Like, wow, I haven't seen a Merino shirt in forever, and now you mention it. That's awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, anyway.
All right. So,
back on topic.
Yeah, so it looks like there was a Greatest Hits album, it looks like, that came out in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that counts.
I think it does because it had a song on it that was not released.
Tonight She Comes. I'm looking at that now. Yeah, which is a good song. That was a good song.
And I remember it being in heavy rotation back then, too, mm-hmm. both on MTV and on Radio Play. And it was re-released on Heartbeat City in, 1999 or something like that.
I didn't know that.
Shoot, I just lost it. Come on. This is such good radio or podcast. So
in any case, this was a good point to do. Yeah, to do a great system.
Last year, expanded edition mm-hmm. bonus tracks added Tonight She Comes to the Heartbeat City album.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, go on.
Anyway, I'm going to say was probably the best point to do a greatest hits album because, all right, so what I'm seeing here on this, the discography now, there's an album called Door to Door from 1987. And frankly, I am not very familiar with this one.
Wow.
So I think if there was a time, downward trend, I think this is where they must have hit it. But from my point of view, just stop it after that Greatest Hits album, and they're perfect.
Yeah. I don't know any of these songs. Maybe You Are the Girl. I'd have to listen to it. It made the top 100 and made it all the way up to number 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. So I'm sure we heard it on the radio. You Are the Girl. I know there's some Cars fans out there that are going, how do you not know who
you
are the girl?
Don't you know that song? All right, let's see if I can get the phone to play it just for a second. And we'll take a listen. But wait, now I gotta turn the volume back up.
I think it's a slower paced song too.
Maybe. It looks like there was a video that went with it. I don't know. YouTube doesn't like to play on my phone anymore. They want to update 17 times, so I don't know if I can get that to work. But in any case, I guess by this point, something must have been going on where the things weren't working as well as they did because I don't recognize any of these either.
Yeah, it's strange that a band would have so many amazing albums back to back to back and then suddenly it would drop off with nothing on it.
Yeah.
That's recognizable. Hold on, I'm pulling it up now. I know it. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Let me fast forward a little.
Where's the vocal? Okay. Not their biggest song, yeah.
Yeah, but I recognize it now for sure.
Yeah, okay.
I knew I would.
Okay.
So that was 1980 what?
87?
Yeah, 87.
1987. Yeah, and I think something I heard today said that they broke up in 1988, but yet there seems to be some, maybe they put together another album, maybe they got back together to do another album.
For
there's an album listed, yeah, that says Move Like This from 2011, but then Benjamin Orr had already passed away at that point, so yeah. I'm not really sure what the circumstances were there. I don't know that I would consider that a Cars album then, like not a new album.
Yeah, I don't know that one at all, and I think we should just call their career kind of at their greatest hits.
And yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, that. But man, their greatest hits between 78 and 84. There's so many
outrageous,
so many great songs from these guys, and Rick Ocasek was the backbone of that band. I know we discussed mostly the Cars, but you really can't talk about the Cars without knowing that Rick Ocasek or Cassick or however you want to say it was the main guy. Him and Benjamin Orr worked well together. They wrote a lot of great stuff together, but Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, Rick Ocasek wrote most of the material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was the look of the band.
He definitely was the look. I don't even know what Benjamin Moore looks like. Benjamin Orr looks like. I know what Benjamin Moore looks like. It's a paint company. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I think Benjamin Orr had a little bit more of like a rocker look, like a classic rock. Now we call it classic rock. We didn't at the time. You know,
he kind of confused
him with like the drummer from Queen. He kind of had that kind of look.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then they had that, you know, little guy who played the keyboards who has like the Sally Jesse Raphael kind of glasses, which I don't recall his name, forgive me. But the look of the band was Rick Ocasek. And he's, you know, like I said, just like this towering guy, skinny, lanky, just. with the sunglasses, it was quite like you couldn't miss him from a mile away. He stood out.
He was a trendsetter for sure.
Right. So it just and it spilled over. It spilled over to the general population is what it did. You know, you can't point now. There's not a lot of bands and of icons out there who you can, other than, you know, maybe Madonna, where you could say people in the general population just started dressing like this guy. That he's that guy.
It's incredible the impact that he had as a pop icon at the time. And if you look back at like, just go back and try to find photos of that era, and you're going to see his look everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating. It's a sad loss. 75 is a little young, in my opinion, to be passing, but he gave us a lot.
Absolutely, and was just replicated just everywhere.
Yeah. Huge influence on the world of new wave and rock and roll and just everything. So, hats off to you, Rick Ocasek. Thank you for giving us everything you gave.
Absolutely, couldn't have done the '80s without you.
Yeah, really. I mean, that was
would not have been the same.
Such a huge impact on that era. So.
Alright, so I guess this probably means that...
Are you getting verklempt?
Yeah, well, I am kind of the unemotional type when it comes to this type of thing.
That's okay. We like that.
I'm a drama queen.
Yeah, no, I get it. There's been a lot of sad days in our... Like I said before, we've had a lot of sad days in the last few years. My wife was upset when George Michael died.
Yeah?
He was quite a bit younger, too. He was only...
Yes. That was upsetting.
57 or something like that. He wasn't even 60. And then one of Chrissy's all-time favorite artists, Tom Petty, he was only 67. He died, a little over a year ago.
Any of this.
Yeah. So, anyway...
So probably coming to a point where we should wrap it up have that be our tribute.
Yep, our tribute to Rick Ocasek and the Cars and what he gave us in that world. So you want to go ahead and wrap it up then?
Yeah. Okay, so you can find us at on Facebook for Banzai Retro Club. It's BANZAI. Also on Twitter, on Instagram, and McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com for an email. Yep. Is that correct? If I'm remembering?
Correct. McFly@BanzaiRetroClub, yes.
Okay, and for me, I'm Suzanne Mattaboni. MATTABONI. I spell it every week. So, Suzanne Mattaboni.com, Suze Mattaboni on Twitter. And I'm on Instagram also, the Suzanne Mattaboni 80s. So you can see some cool archived stuff from the decade there that I post now and then. Scott, you want to give a sign off on your end?
Yeah, you can follow me at 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter or 80s Mixtape Auto Reverse on Facebook. And I'm very involved with the Banzai Retro Club side of things, too, so that's another way to contact me. Dave usually heads that whole thing up, but I get messages through him, too. So, and I'm on the email, the same McFly email. You can contact us that way, and... That's about it. Oh, and don't forget, if you're on an iPhone or something that you can go to iTunes and rate us, please don't forget to go and rate us.
Good idea.
Give us a review. Rate and review. Actually, rate and review is much more important than just rating. Even if it's just a couple of words, it makes a difference. So do that. And
yeah, hope you're enjoying this stuff, everybody out there.
I hope so too, because I know that I am having a blast with everything that we're talking about. I absolutely love it, and I look forward to every week that we talk about the new wave stuff, and we took a little break from the usual annual thing or where we were doing breaking down the years to give a little tribute to Rick. But we're going to get back to 1984 next time around. So come back for 1984.
Where things really heat up.
Oh, man.
The decade really kicks into gear.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we give the Dave's typical be excellent to each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's nice to pick up that tagline.
It is.
Good old Bill and Ted.
Yeah. I like that Dave incorporated that whole that idea into our show. Be excellent to each other, because really, why do we have to be jerks? You know, what's the
another
point?
Another way to say it.
What's the point to being jerks? Let's just all be excellent to each other. Everything will be so much better. Really,
there you go.
Every day would be so much better if we were all excellent to each other. So I really like that Dave added that as from the get-go, from the beginning of Banzai Retro Club, he started saying that. So
cool.
I like it a lot, and so that's our motto.
Okay. All right.
All right. Take care, Suzanne.
Thanks.
Bye,
see you
everybody.
Next time.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!